We're up to here on Omnom Yadanu in the Torah Devaire, which is Daf Lamed Vav, page 36 in the Torah Devaire. I just want to mention one nekuda here that we had in the Midah HaShvi'is. The Torah Devaire pointed out, and he said that Ponov Tehiyeno Me'iro is Tomid. The seventh Midah, he said that a person's face should always shine. And he said, V'yikabel kol odom b'sever ponim yofis. And he said, also receive all people with a cheerful face. V'yikabel kol odom b'sever ponim yofis. In fact, this statement, V'yikabel kol odom b'sever ponim yofis, is actually, it's a Mishnah. It's actually a Mefurish Mishnah that we know in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, but there's a Hagdomah. The Mishnah says, when it says, V'hevi mikabel is kol odom b'sever ponim yofis, to receive every person, you know, with a friendly smile, with a cheerful countenance. The Hagdome is, it says, Emor ma'at vasei harbe. That is the Hagdome. Emor ma'at, right, vasei harbe. And then it says, V'hevi mekabel kol odom b'sever ponim yofis. What is the connection with Emor ma'at vasei harbe to V'hevi mekabel kol odom b'sever ponim yofis? Usually, Emor ma'at vasei harbe usually means talk less and do more, right? Emor ma'at. Say little, vasei harbe. However, Chaim Veloshin Ruach Chaim actually has a new pshat, has a novel pshat. In the words, emor ma'at vasei harbe. He means to say is this is an attitude of a person, an achiever, and this is in every area in life, whether it's in the physical world, whether it's in the spiritual world. A person who feels that he's already accomplished will not have a drive to pursue, will not have a drive to continue, will not have a drive and a reason to want to grow. The attitude, especially when it comes in Avodas Hashem, that as much as a person has done, as much as he has achieved, he should say, I only have done a little. Emor ma'at. So the B'chaim Elojah means always say that you have done a little. Don't have an attitude that you are already a shleimizdik person. And the Loshon of B'chaim is as follows. Emor ma'at means shetoymer tomid v'tachshoyv, should always say and you should imagine that all the Torah that you learned till now, all that you've accomplished is only a little ma'at minamat, very, very small. And as a result, if you have that attitude, so if a person really has this attitude, ma'at, he'll always say, it was only a little bit, I didn't do anything, it was nothing. No. As a result, vasei harbe. This is then going to spur you on further. This is going to encourage you to want to do more. A person who already believes that he accomplished a lot will not have a reason to feel that he must go ahead and he must forge forward. But it's only because of Emor Ma'at, because a person says always Ma'at, I only have done a little. Therefore, Vasei Habit, therefore will feel a need that he has to do more. So now comes the Tan and his Mamshech continues. If a person has really that attitude, that he really always says, no, emor ma'at, he does not go to his head, but rather he visions, and he always would underestimate, in the sense, he says, all I've done is a little, then, the heavy mekabel is kolodim b'sever ponim yofis, he says, will not be so difficult. You know why? Because if you feel that you have done little, that is the attitude towards yourself, but not in evaluating someone else. When you evaluate someone else, you should always overvalue, you should overestimate a person. You should always give a person the benefit of the doubt. One is able to be a non of on his own cheshbon. I am nothing, I didn't do much, you know, don't taking credit for what you have done. But always appreciate and always understand to value what other people have done. If you have this ashkofe, emor ma'at, saying it's only a little bit, says Rav Chaim Elojner, all that I've done is only a little bit, then avada navada, you will be mechabed other people, because you're going to assume that they have done more than you. If you think you have done a lot, you're above them. But emor ma'at, but if your attitude is that as far as you're concerned, you have only done little, so Memeli says, v'zeh shomer ha'tane. The Tana says further, that the tekabel is kolodom b'sever ponim yofos. Why? Because she'tach shoiv shema hu osa yosem mimeni. Because you're going to assume that the other person has done more. You, as far as you're concerned, it's always emor ma'at. You're always saying to yourself, I've only done a little. Well, if you say that to yourself, you've only done a little, but as far as someone else is concerned, he has done more than you have done. So So therefore, have you mekabel es kol odom b'sefer ponim yofes? If you think that you are so, that you are so great, a person who believes that he's in such a high madrega, it's quite difficult for him then to feel, why do I have to be mechabed someone else? Why should I receive everyone b'sefer ponim yofes? Who is that other person? But if a person has the attitude, as far as he's concerned, is amar ma'at, so then that the mekabel es kol odom b'sefer ponim yofes is not all that difficult. Interesting. We're talking about the lashon of the Mishnah, where the Talmud Dvar also said to be mekabel es kol odom b'sefer ponim yofes. Now, usually this is really just a poetic phrase. What it means is be mechabed people, give them the proper derecheretz. What does the ponim mean? Ponim means the face. What is the role of the face really? What is the role of my face when I am receiving people, when I am accepting people, when I want to actually bring people into my home? The Tana uses advisedly the lashon ponim yofes. Then the mekabels call them b'sever ponim yofes. So comes Rabbeinu Yoyne. Comes Rabbeinu Yoyne, one of the great Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yoyne says something very interesting. What does it mean, ponim yofes? What does it mean to be mekabel each and every person? Welcome every person b'sever ponim yofes. So Rabbeinu Yoyne, you know what it means? She'yira lohem ponim shel simcha. Ponim yofes means a face of happiness. Let the other person really feel that you are happy to see him. Let him feel that you are happy to welcome him into your home. That energy has to be able to be penetrated, has to feel that something that can be seen, which is a reflection on the face of the host. Having mekabels kol odom b'sefer ponim yofes, he says, she'yira lohem ponim shel simcha. A face of simcha. So, interesting thing. So, says Rabbeinu Yoyne the following lashon, which means to say, we know that something which is called Oinoas Dvorim. Oinoas Dvorim is a lav deraisa, by the way. People don't realize. Oinoas Dvorim means is hurting someone with words. People many times underestimate the seriousness. I only said it. I didn't do anything to him. I only spoke. No, so what? I'm here, he's there, and I just said something. There's a lav in the Torah that says Oinoas Dvorim. There's a lav that it's osir to be mitzayer, to cause someone pain through words, even though you didn't touch him. Words are very, very hurtful. Oinoas Dvorim. As a matter of fact, the Isser of Oinoas Dvorim, as Kidua from the Chazon Ish said, Oinoas Dvorim not only applies to adults, but also to children. Children have feelings also. Children have sensitivities. Sometimes adults think just because they're adults, that entitles them, you know, to do anything they want with little children. Children also have to be treated properly. And an Isser of Oinoas Dvorim does not only apply between adult to adult, but Oinoas Dvorim also applies also to Ketanim. That it is also for someone to be Mitzayer even a Kotan. Famous story of the Stipler, one of the earliest, before all these Mises of Gedolim came out, one of the early ones. You know, it was when this was a particular Miser that was quite well known at the time, and that was that the Stipler's minhag was that he would, but there Klal, usually he would not go to Bar Mitzvahs. Would not go to Bar Mitzvahs. For a simple reason. Everybody would invite him to a Bar Mitzvah. Who wouldn't invite him to a Bar Mitzvah? If he would just go to a Bar Mitzvah, he could just be busy just going day in, day out. More than once, probably 5 Bar Mitzvahs each and every day, especially in Bnei Brak, because the Fushtel and how many Bar Mitzvahs you can imagine, you know, on a daily basis. He just can't. So, the Hechrich, he just couldn't go. He didn't go to Bar Mitzvahs. I mean, unless it was really family. He didn't go to Bar Mitzvahs. And yet there was a particular Bar Mitzvah, and the Stipler comes, and he shows up, and he's here. It was a big Chiddush why he was here. It turns out that many, many years ago, when this Bar Mitzvah boy was still, he was a cotton, he was a minor, and he comes into shul, it was Yom HaNoroim, it was Rosh Hashanah, and he comes in with a very large marzer, like a baltfila marzer that they used to have, a very large marzerin. Someone who did not see that this was a marzer thought it appeared that this was a gemara. Looks like a gemara. Today the gemaras are also smaller, Rabbi says, so it doesn't mean anything. But I'm all, yeah, a large sefer was a large sefer. A large sefer was a gemara. The Stipler went over very, very nicely, gently. He said to him, he says to the, I want you to know, he says, that Rosh Hashanah, he says, is a zman tefillah, it's not a zman limud. He gave Musar, he says, Shon's a time for davening, it's not a time for learning. Everything has its time and its place. So the bocher picks up the sefer and he shows it. It's not a gemara. He says, it's a mazer. The Stifler had a lot of tzar. He says, I gave him musa for nothing, and nobody likes to be criticized, and certainly to be wrongly criticized. People like to be rightly criticized either. So, the Stifler made the following cheshem. The fact, he says, that I was mitzayer him. I was mitzar him for no reason, really. Oy bazoy, it means then I have to ask mechila. Guess what? A cotton is not able to be moichel. A cotton is not able to be moichel. So Stiple said, I kept it in my cheshbon. I waited to the day that he's bar mitzvah. The day that he becomes a godel, that's the first day that he's able to be moichel, I went to bar mitzvah to ask him mechila. He waited years to have that opportunity to be able to ask him mechila. Again, that's the inyan of Oynoaz Devarim. The idea, the iser, of causing someone tsar with words. So Rabbi Yoyne says that I want you to know something. It's brought down the Balamusar. That the same way that it is osir, it is forbidden, cause someone pain with words, it is osir to cause someone tsar by showing him a sour face. It's also. In other words, Sefer Ponim Yovel is a Ponim Shel Simcha, which is Kishem Sheyesh Oynoa Bidvorim, the same way that there is Oynoa with words. And you can't say, listen, I didn't do anything. All I said was speak. All I said, I only said something. No. Said is very, very painful. Shem shesh oynoa bedvorim, yesh oynoa be'ayin ra, shemare ponim royim, shemosel alev. Because this is the language of the heart. Whatever is on your face, that really means what you're feeling. And if you're showing someone a ayin ra, you're showing someone this sour type of a face, which is the opposite of ponim yofis, there's a lot of pain that is being conveyed to the other party. So that is a very important nekuda. It's kedai taka to mention, as the Talmud Dvar tells us, that the mekabel kolodom, as he says, b'sever polim yofos, that there's a chazal. The chazal says the following thing, and many, many times we fall into this trap. And this is the quote from Ovis de Rav Nosson at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. And in Ovis de Rav Nosson it says, chazal says as follows, have a mekabel kolodom receive every person, as we just said, b'sever polim yofos, with a cheerful countenance. So he says, ketzad, what's the example for that? Melamed, we learn from this. It's possible that you give someone all the gifts in the world, but if you give it with a sour face, uponov kvushim boretz, male olov akosev, the Torah, the posuk considers it kilu loy nosa loy klum. You didn't give anything. It's not what you give, it's how you give it. So you can give someone a $1 million gift, but if you give it with a ponim rois, the opposite of ponim yofis, as he says, ponim kvushim baris, your face is stuck into the ground, what you can really see, there's a reluctance, or there's some reason why you're giving it, but you're not really giving it because your heart is really in it, then it's kilo nosa leklum. And yet the Ovis Rav Nosson says, aval hamekabel chaveroi, but someone who receives his chaver b'sever ponim yofis, afilo nosa leklum, even you didn't give him anything, you gave him your heart. He says, mal olav hakosuv, that's the idea. Even if you didn't give him anything, but you gave him your savior upon him, your office, you gave him much more. What did you give him? You gave him yourself. That is the greatest gift that you can give someone. More than any monetary present, any more than monetary matona that you can give. Giving someone a chilek of yourself. So you can give kol matonis toivah shebi'olam, says Ovid Rav Nosson. But if you're not giving it the savior upon him, your office, it's kilu le'nos le'klum, as if you hadn't given. And yet it's possible not to give anything, just to welcome a person in, take him into your house, say a nice word to him, and maybe give him a glass of water. The idea that the person feels so welcome, you have given a piece of yourself, you have given a chelik of your life. That's what it means, have a mekabel kolodom b'sever ponim yofos. And that's what Chazal are telling us. This is an obvious Rav Nosson. Interesting thing, the last few years what has become very popular is the Sefer Sifsei Chaim from Rav Chaim Friedlander, who is a mashgiach, you know, well, also in Panovich. Had become quite popular. There's a whole series of svarim from him. And it's brought down over there, actually in the Hagdoma to the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, it's brought down that when Rav Chaim Friedlander, he says, the type of tzura of chesed, or sefer ponim yofos that he had to another person, one would be able to see even when and how he spoke on the telephone with another person. For some reason, you know, people, when they talk on the phone, the other party can't see you, and yet when you speak, you move your hands back and forth as if the other person sees. What are you moving your hands for? Who's seeing it? Nobody sees it. You see, you're talking in front of a person, and you're moving your hands, all the facial expressions. Okay, so the other person can see it, so you're making some sort of, making a point. Facial expressions is also part of the way a person speaks. Speaking on the phone, and you're moving your hands up and down. Nobody sees it. Chaim Friedlander, he says, used to speak on the phone, and there was this particular smile that he had on his face. And he used to ask him, why are you smiling when you're speaking on the phone? The other person can't see the smile anyway. So he said he can't see the smile, but can hear the smile. You can hear it. This is something you can sense. So you smile on the phone when you're talking to someone. He says, maybe you can't see the smile, but you can certainly hear it. This is the Hargosha. You're giving him a chelik of yourself. And this can be sensed in one's voice, no matter of how one speaks. This is another form, another way of having mekabel kolodom b'sefer ponim yovis. I want to mention to you, which is interesting to point out, and that was what the last mashgiach, as it were, you know, of Slobodka in Europe, was Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski. Avrom Grudzinski was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. As a matter of fact, at the age of 17, in the year 1901, when he was 17 years old, Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski goes to learn in Slobodka. He's 17 years old, and he becomes a lifetime Talmud. He becomes of the altar of Slobodka. Lamaise, years later, the altar of Slobodka, the great Baal Musar, used to say that Zes Chori, he said, used to say, Mikol Amoli, this was my reward for all my toil. Meaning to say, he felt that this Talmud, really, this student, personified everything that he used to teach. This Talmud, really, was one who was Mekabel, who received and actually was transformed and lived his life in the way that the altar always taught. He used to say, everything was Kedai to produce this Talmud, everything was worthy. Zes Chori, to say, Mikol Amoli. And it said that when the Chofetz Chaim met Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski, I'll tell you something interesting about Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski. And you'll see the shaykhs. Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski, when the Chofetz Chaim met Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski, Lamaisi was so impressed with the Kedusha and his personality that the Chofetz Chaim used to say, because who is the Rebbe of Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski? Was the Alter Slobodka. So Chofetz Chaim used to say, this, I merely write Sforim and the Alter builds people. He says, that's the difference, he says. I write Sforim, Chofetz Chaim, I write Sforim. But the Alter Slobodka builds people. Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski, this was one siman of that, was proof of that. He was a Talmud of the Alter. That's what the Chofetz Chaim used to say. So the altar builds people. This is what he pointed out concerning Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski. And in fact, this is what it was. In 1905, interesting thing, Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski and three other Talmidim of Slobodka, they spent some time in Telz in order to motivate some of the Bokharim there who had been trapped by the Enlightenment, by the Haskalah. It was very dangerous those times because Bokharim used to get hold of all types of secular books, and some of them were just taken in by it. And it was dangerous that they are going to be led astray. So Avrom Grudzinski, 1905, so make a cheshbon, he was 17 in 1901, so now he's like 21 years old, 4 years later. So he was sent with some Talmidim to go to Telz, and in order there to motivate some of the Bokharim who had been, as we said, had been ensnared, you know, by the Haskalah. So, the interesting thing is that, let me just tell you something, that Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski we're talking about was the brother-in-law of Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky. Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski, they're both sons-in-law of the same person. Rabbi Avrom was the brother-in-law of Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, and he was the father-in-law of who? Of Rabbi Shlomo Volbe and Rabbi Chaim Kreisler. Chaim Kreisler was a son-in-law, and Rabbi Shlomo Volbe, famous Baal Musa, Shlomo Volbe, was also a son-in-law, Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski. What's interesting to point out, that when the Lithuanians came to take Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski to the Kovno ghetto, that's what happened. They came to take him to the Kovno ghetto. He insisted when he's taken away, he wants to wear his Shabbos clothes. He said, I have to be taken away, and he knew where he was going. This is a one-way trip. He says, I want to go, he says, in my Shabbos clothes. And his son, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Avrom Grudzinski's son, Rabbi Yitzchak, he related, he says, that the children asked him, why are you putting on the same clothing that you're wearing on Shabbos? And there was also, by the way, he used to wear Big Day Shabbos when he said a shemuz in yeshiva. He said a shemuz in yeshiva, he used to wear Big Day Shabbos. He said, why are you wearing those clothes that you use in the yeshiva when you're saying a shemuz and what you're wearing on Shabbos? Now you're being kidnapped, he said, by these thugs. Why are you wearing these Big Day Shabbos? And Rav Avrom Grudzinski said something very interesting. And he quoted a chazal. And the chazal say, by the way, it's a gemara, whoever wants to look it up, in Sanhedrin Tzaddik Beis Omed Beis. And the chazal say, Afilu bishas hasakone lo yishana odam es atzmoy min harabonus. What that means, even at a time of mortal danger, a person should not abandon his dignity. He knew where he was going. He knew this might be his last trip. But even the last moments of one's life, do not abandon your dignity. And he pointed out, Rabbi Avraham Gudzinski pointed out, Rashi that says, we all know that Hananya, Mishael, Azariah were thrown into the Kibshon Oesh, were thrown into the fiery furnace, and then they were saved through a miracle, of course. This is one of the Nisim, Kohen Baruch Hu made the miracle to save them. So Rashi tells us that when Hananya, Mishael, Azariah were thrown into the Kibshon Oesh, into the burning furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, they did not take off their clothing of high office that they wore. They went with their dignified clothing. This is the way they got to go, this is the way it's got to be. You don't abandon the chashivas ha'odom, the dignity of a person, till the last breath of one's life. And in fact, this is what he did. This is what Avraham Gudzinski Lamaisa did. I just want to just tell you something, that Rav Moshe Schwab, the son of Rav Schwab, Zechon Levrocha, of Shimon Schwab, he pointed out, he said that in the 1930s, Rav Shimon Schwab was a rav of a small German town, which is called Eichenhausen. So he says, it was one Shabbos morning, shortly after Rav Shimon Schwab gave his drosha, his sermon, he gave his drosha there in Shul, and he was arrested by the secret police, because it just turned out police used to, you know, undercover, used to come to the shuls to hear, to see what are they talking about. Is it treason? Are they traitors? What is the attitude toward the government? So the secret police misunderstood the words of Shimon Schwab. Schwab said in his drosha, he said the following words. He said that when a Yid davens, he davens directly to Hashem without any intermediary. But he said it in German. How does that come out in German? In German comes out, he said, the Yiddish folk, so Brochnish does not need. Now how do you say intermediary? A Vermittler. He thought he's saying you don't need Hitler. This is what that's what the policeman thought he heard. He was saying you don't need a Vermittler, you don't need an intermediary. The police heard him say is, we don't need Hitler, we gotta get rid of him. So he was arrested. So Moshe Schwab says that I want you to know that when my father, he says Rav Shimon Schwab, was arrested, before he went, he took and he put on, he says, his rabbinic attire, he says his clothing, because he was arrested in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, he was wearing night clothes. But now that he was taken away, he just asked for 2 minutes just to change his clothes. And he went in his rabbinical begodim, his rabbinical garb. And he asked him why. And Rabbi Shimon Schwab said this. He says, I know the German police, he says. He says, I know they can come at any moment and take me out to be beaten or killed. By the way, the story goes different. From then on, when he was arrested, then they let him go. And then, from then on, every night he went to sleep, instead of night clothes, he went to sleep, he said, with rabbinical begodim. He said, why? Because I know they can come again at any minute. He says, and if they said they hang me, let people not see, he says, a rav hanging in pyjamas would be a chil Hashem. At least let me hang, he says, in rabbinical garb. It's an idea of a yid, how a yid thinks. Only shana odom, a person does not change. Minarabonus b'shas haskona, even b'shas haskona, one still maintains his dignity till the very, very last moment. So that's very interesting. So that was exactly the same thing that Rabbi Avraham Gudzinski did. Avraham Gudzinski also, when he was taken away to the Kovno ghetto, he went wearing Bigdei Shabbos. So as a hakdama to that, let me tell you what Rabbi Avraham Gudzinski, how he said, when it says having mekabel kolodim b'sefer ponim yofis, when it says over here that one should receive and welcome every person, right, with his face, with a happy face, with a cheerful face. So he said the following. He said that we know in Mesilas Yesharim talks about there's a midah called precious, where basically a person reaches such a madrega that in a certain sense that he separates himself from all the pleasures of this world and he dedicates himself totally to Avodas Hashem. So Avraham Gudzinski, if you want to be a Porush, you want to separate yourself from this world, that is only on your own cheshbon. But not at somebody else's cheshbon. In other words, if your services are need, if you are able to benefit other people, if you can be mashpi on other people, then the whole mile of precious ends. The mile of precious, he says, only applies as long as it does not infringe on your responsibilities to anybody else. And Mameli, he said about like this. He says, Midas HaPrishus, he says, the Midah of separation. It's Midah Nalo. He says, it's an admirable Midah Achverak Bamash and Negeil Odomatsmoy. With Negeil Zulosoy. He says, however, when it comes to Odom Lachaveroi, Choyvehu Lehishtamish Behepech Shal Prishus. If it comes to Odom Lachaveroi, then you have to use the other Midah. You know what you're supposed to do? Mamish, which runs against the grain of a parish. What says Bishvokim? Adrabe, run into the marketplace. Uberachayvais Kirya. Lechapes lemalois toivis chaveroi. To be memalo toivis chaveroi. And he says, that's why man was created from a combination of above and down here. His neshama comes from Shemayim, and his body comes from the earth. Why is man created from both chalokim, from two chalokim? Because what's negay to his neshama, that's one type of anhoge. That's one type of way a person conducts his life. But what's negay to other people, right, then it's his body, right, then it's the chelik haguf, also comes into play, which means that you have to be concerned with what's doing in this world also, in the real world. You can't just say, separate yourself from the world. I'm only concerned about myself. You know, my madregas, my growing, am I elevating my own neshama? Your neshama is one chelik in it. You also have a guf also, which means you have responsibilities down here. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created man from both chalokim. You work on your own neshama, but at the same time, don't neglect your duties and responsibilities to other people as well. And he pointed out, and he said, because the truth is, because the avodas Hashem of a person is a combination of what? In other words, your neshama itself becomes enhanced by how much you do for others as well. So it's not a contradiction. It's not, I'm doing part for myself, and the second part I'm doing for somebody else. No. When you're doing for somebody else, you're also enhancing your own neshama as well. So this is all part of your own avodah. This is what it means. Therefore, it says, "Having mekabels kol odom sefer polim yofes." Avram Gizinski says, and he understood what it means to be an oved Hashem. He understood what it means, the idea of committing and dedicate yourself to be a parish, to separate oneself. But he also knew what it means to be in, to have influence, to be able to be a mashpia, and therefore another people as well. So I just want to tell you, just because we have to move on here, just want to mention to you, and that is, that Rebitzel Petterburger, one of the great Talmidim, of course, of Reb Sos Halanter, so he brings down the Sefer Or Yisroel. He brings down the Sefer Or Yisroel from his Rebbe, Reb Sos Halanter, and he says, Mamish, this point that we're talking about, people who are consumed in their own neshamas don't realize that how much, because they are worried about their own neshamas, how much they're neglecting other people. Reb Sos used to say as follows, and he says a very, very interesting point. He says, Erev Yom Kippur, he says, Erev Yom Kippur, many people are very, very serious. I mean, they know now this is the end of the road. It's the end of the Yisrael Shem Etshuva. It's either now or never. You want to have, now the Zman of the Chasime, right? And everybody hopes to have a Chasime L'Toiva. So many people, and by the way, serious-minded people have what's called Cherdas Hadin. They have fear. They have fear and they tremble for the Din, which a serious-minded person should have. So Rebitzel says, that once on the one time, an Erev Yom Kippur, when they were going to shul, Rabbi Yisrael was going to shul, he says, just before Kol Nidre, and he finds a person, Rabbi Yisrael sees a person who he knows, an acquaintance, and Rabbi Yisrael goes over to him, and he asked him something, and the person Bechlal didn't answer him. He was so consumed, he says, it's Erev Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yisrael used to say, he's busy doing tshuva, but why do I have to tolerate, he says, because he's doing tshuva. In other words, he's doing tshuva. But just because he's doing tshuva doesn't mean that somebody else, therefore, should have to suffer, or other people should, therefore, be felt neglected or be pained in one way or another. So the Lashon used to say is like this. He says, he saw that the other person, loy onaloy meroiv cherdas adin, the person didn't respond because of the fear and awe that he had of the Yom Adin. And from the Yira of the Kedushas Hayoim, Omar Hagoyin Rabbi Yisrael, Loma Ani Tzarech Lizboil Mecherdes Adin Shaloi. I have to be soivel v'ayot cherdes adin. That's an excuse that I have to be soivel. I don't have to be soivel v'ayot cherdes adin. He has cherdes adin, fine. But that's not an excuse, right, to step on somebody else. That's, again, this is the same idea. You want to be a parish, fine. That's all that's negated to your own neshama. But not at the cheshbon of anybody else. Somebody else doesn't have to pay a price because you want to go to the next step, to the next madrega. That's what it means, having mekabel kol odom b'sefer polim yofes. And agav, what comes to mind is the Pinchas Hirschsprung, Zechorin Lebrocha, one of the great Talmidim of Rameir Shapiro. And again, you know, whatever Rav Meir Shapiro says, you know, he takes a simple Gemara, you know, the insights, practical insight that Rav Meir Shapiro saw. He was a tremendous Magid, of course, tremendous orator. And this is the Gemara that everybody has heard, and maybe so many different Perushim. But look what Rav Meir Shapiro, and by the way, this is true to his nature, the kind of the Pshat that he said. You know, the Gemara tells us the famous Maisim, it says the Psochem Dav Chobez on the base, that there was a Tana by the name of Shimon Amisoini. Shimon Amisoini, Hoye Doirish, called Es and Shibatayr. Every time it said in the Torah, Es, right? So Shimon Amisoini would darshan, would tell us what this S comes to teach us. Whenever the Torah said the word S, what it comes to teach us. He would darshan all the S. However, the Gemara tells us that Kim Shehigia, when he came to the Posek, Es Hashem Alekecho Tiro, that a person has to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stopped, he was stumped. Why? What can you add? Who else do you fear? In other words, what is the S going to be marbe? Es Hashem Alekecho Tiro, Pirish. So he stopped. In other words, what happened is, he says, this is the end. I can't. I have nothing to darshan from Es Hashem Alekecho Tiro. Pirish. Pirish means he separated himself. Achibur Rabbi Akiva. Rekiva came, Vidorash. He darshan Es Hashem Alekecho Tiro. L'rabois Talmid HaChachomim. What does that mean? That not only is there a chiyuv to have yiro from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one must have yiro for Talmid HaChachomim too. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Es Hashem Alekecho Tiro. The S come to be marbe, to include. Not only is there a mitzvah to fear Hashem, there's also a mitzvah, the rabbis Talmid Chachamim. You have to have Yira from a Talmud Chacham. You have Yira Shemayim, you have to have Yira from a Talmud Chacham also. That's what the S comes to add. So the Meir Shapiro said as follows. Listen how he says Pshat in the Gemara. Shema Soini comes to the Potek as Hashem Alekecho Tiro. There's a mitzvah that you have to be a Yira Shemayim. Shema Soini says to himself, and this was his attitude, this was his Ashkofa, like the Ashkofa of many that we have just rejected. He said, to be a Shemayim, how can one really be the greatest Yerushalayim that you can be? How can that happen? What does a person have to do to be the best Yerushalayim you can? Shimon of Sayyid Pashat Chesh, you know the best way to do it? The best way is to separate yourself from this world. Separate yourself from the world. Sit in your Dalaramis. Don't have any shaykhs to the world. Right? Don't communicate with anybody. Just sit in your own, right? Within your own four walls and serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? So obviously, you're not going to have any distractions. You're not going to have any challenges. You're not going to have any nisyonis. And Mamela, you're going to be Mikhaim as Hashem Alekecho Tiro to the highest degree. To the highest degree. Listen to the words. Ki Mishihigia, when Shimon HaMisoini reaches at Hashem Alekecho Tiro, Pirish, he was Pirish himself. He was Pirish himself from the world. Because he said, this is the only way to really do it. The only way to really do it, to be a true Yir Shemaim, is by separating oneself. By separating was a cutting himself off from the world. He was going to go on to the street, I can be involved in all the nisyonis, all the challenges. These things are poison to one's spiritual life. So I'm going to insulate myself, Pirish. Pirish means to cut himself out of the world. Achibora Bikiva, Bikiva said to him, that's not the Jewish way. As a Shemel Kechotira, you want to be a real Yerushalayim, L'rabois Talmid HaChachomim. See that there are going to be more Talmid HaChachomim in the world. Be a Marbis Torah. L'rabois Talmid HaChachomim. Rav Meir Shapiro made a yeshiva. He built a yeshiva Chacham Lubim. The more Torah you bring into the world, that's the biggest Yerushalayim. You want to be a greater Yerushalayim, L'rabois, see to be Marbis Talmid HaChachomim. See that there should be more Talmid HaChachomim. Otherwise, be Mashpia on others, not Pirish. The opposite of Pirish. Shimon HaMisoini, his cheshbon was, how is Hashem L'Kechotira? How does one become? How does one become the Shem L'Kech? They're Pirish. He's going to separate himself from the world. Just the opposite. Be involved. Make more Talmid HaChachamim. Build more people. Build more Oyvdei Hashem. Create more Oyvdei Hashem. That's the true Yir Shemayim. True Yir Shemayim is not satisfied that he's only going to be Yir Shemayim. True Yir Shemayim wants to draft more people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army. That's the real Yir Shemayim. So many people that you can bring back to serve Hashem. That is the true Yir Shemayim. So the Eitzah is not, like Shimon HaMisoini thought, Pirish, to separate oneself from the world. On the contrary, be involved in the world and make a contribution. Make a positive contribution. That's Rav Meir Shapiro. Again, this is just one of the ways of Meir Shapiro. And let me just, I can just conclude to you. Let me tell you that it is mentioned, B'Shem Eikadmon. Kadmon means, you know, one of the early, one of the early Mepharshim. And he raised the following question, he says. It's a fascinating thing. The heart, which is the essence of a person's life, the heart, right? One of the main limbs in the human body. Where is the heart situated? The heart is on the left side. The left side is the less important side. We know the yamin, the right hand. The right hand, in all areas, of course, we know, the right hand always has the precedence. Yemin is the choshuv, Yemin is the tzad choshuv, and Smoil is is less choshuv. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu plant the heart of a person, which is the most important, right, limb, which is the life force in the human body, why did Hashem put it on the left side, on the less important side? And the Kadmon said as follows: your heart is on the left side, that's your heart. But when you're looking at someone else who's facing you, his heart is on your right side. Have a heart. The heart is supposed to be on the right side. When you're considering, when you're looking at other people, when you have a heart for somebody else, then it's on the right side. If you only have a heart for yourself, then it's on your left side. The Nekuda is that Kadosh Baruch Hu created a heart in the way that you should have a heart for others. And in fact, when you have a heart for others, it's on the right side. Your heart, your eyes to him, and vice versa, is on the right. Because that's the whole purpose of having a heart. Looking at someone else. Being concerned about someone else. Having a kabbal kol adam asev upon him yofes. When your heart is only within yourself, it's only on the left side. It's not very important to be concerned always with yourself. But looking at someone else, it's to your right. That's when the heart moves over. And that's the idea again. Having mekabel kolodom b'sever upon him yofes. So I want to tell you that Reb Chaim Kanievsky and his Rebbetzin have 14 children. Reb Chaim Kanievsky has 14 children. And what's interesting thing is that it's incredibly that he managed to raise all of these children and in a cramped two-bedroom apartment. Two-bedroom apartment. That's all they had. And on one occasion, a group of wealthy supporters, they were made aware of the difficulty of the accommodations of Reb Chaim Kanievsky and his Rebbetzin, so they decided to raise the funds necessary to help to buy and to purchase a new apartment that would be able to accommodate a family of this size, a family of 14 children, right, to purchase a new apartment. There was one problem. The problem was that how would they present the money to Reb Chaim Kanievsky? Anybody knows Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and his type of, by the way, is the same way. Chazanish was the same way. That whole family, he would not take any extra money. There's no such thing. You know, the Stipler, when you bought any of his Sfarim, he would only take exactly what the Sfarim, what the price was. But it was dirt cheap that he used to sell the Sfarim. Stipler used to sell the Sfarim. If you tried to give him an extra dollar, he would not take it. He would not take an extra dollar. Never. And I can just tell you something. So he would sell his Sfarim, as they say, to anybody who bought it. I mean, in the stores, it would say, those days it wasn't sold in the stores either. But it was a safer that was undersold of any comparable safer. Stipler sold it, you would think it's like cost price, or just a little bit, just more. It was very, 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 very cheap. I remember that it was in somewhere in the 70s. It was in the 70s. And I brought the Stipler. It was the first safer, the first Menachas Chaim, which is a large safer. It's a heavy safer. If you weigh it, it's a heavy safer. So it was printed in 1974. And I brought it to the Stipler. So the Stipler says to me, "Chnemishka matonis." Says I don't take any gifts. By the way, Rav Shachar Zichron Lebracha, when I gave him a safer, says, "Ichonish kan gel to batzon." Shach says, "I don't have any money." Says I didn't come to sell it. The first thing. Stipler says, "I don't take matonis." So I said, "No." So he said, "I'll pay for it." But I said, "I didn't come to sell it." So he asked me, "What is in the 70s? So I said to him, I had to say something. So I said, $5. I mean, by the way, in the 70s, $5 was more than $5 today. But I said, $5. He takes the safer and he picks it up like this. No, not $5. So I said, no. He didn't look inside. So like this. No, not $5. Then lira was still around. It turned out that it was a couple of thousand lira, which worked out to $25 in the 70s. Safer for $25, you can get a set of anything for $25. And that was a Stipler. So they wanted to buy a new apartment for Reb Chaim Kanievsky and the family. The only problem was, how do you get Reb Chaim to take the money? So they figured there's one Eitzah. The Eitzah is, the logical way would be, is that they are going to go to his mother. A mother has Rachmanis, of course, on her children and grandchildren. She knows how they're living. The Stipler's wife. Then go to his mother. And they go to his mother and they offer, "Listen, we're ready to buy a new apartment for Reb Chaim and his family. So it's up to you to convince him that he should be willing to take it." It was an amazing thing. when they presented her with the money to buy the new apartment, she thanked them for their thoughtfulness, that they are willing to do something like that. However, she says, I have to refuse. Why? And she said, as long as my Chaim and family are living in cramped quarters, then other families with a few less children in the same living conditions can always look to them and rationalize, if Chaim can live like that, we can also. The moment he says that my son Chaim moves up, he says, to a more spacious type of an apartment, all the other people who are living in cramped quarters will not be able to find a nechama. So she refused, and Chaim remained back in that same apartment. Says, this is, again, where a person, his heart is not for himself. His heart, himself, it's only on the left side, but looking at the heart of others. So Rabbi Yisrael, let's go and to the Talmud of Devarim now, where we're up to, this is page 36. Page 36. It begins, Omnom Yodanu. Now, I just have to say, there are many who learn this next paragraph or so. Actually, skip it, because there is a little bit of Kabbalah over here. So we're not going to skip it, but we're not going to dwell on each and every word, which really is sort of like Kabbalistic, but we will be able to get the message out of the paragraph with the term of the verse trying to tell us. So we start, and he says as follows. In other words, you have to realize where he's up to now. Omnom, he says, however, because he now has completed teaching us about eight midos, tolerance, anivus, a person should refrain from anger, and so on, all the various midos toivos. So comes the term of Dvar now, and he follows up, and he says, Omnom Yodanu, says, we know, he says, the term of Dvar says, we know, we're aware, she efsherli hisnayig be'elu hamidos tomit. We know it's not always possible that a person always conducts himself in these midos. Why? Mipnei sheyesh midos acheres, because there are also other qualities shehodom tzarech lehishtalem behem. There are also other qualities that a person also has to master and use. For example, gaiva, for example, is considered to be a negative midah, but there's something called gaiva de kedusha. A person cannot be anonav at the wrong time. When a person basically has to voice, right, has to voice his displeasure of seeing when something is wrong, he can't say, who am I? He says, well, I'm a nothing, and so on. But the time is nobody else is doing it, then mokim sheinish, there's nobody else, it's tadli ish. So there is such a thing, it's called as gaiva de kedusha. Azus is a bad thing, but there's something called azus de kedusha. Where do we find it? It says, have a az kanomer. A person should have the midah of azus, but it means az means in a positive way. So, of course, says the Talmud Devarim, there are other midahs, which basically usually run contrary to what we have taught, but in the proper place, there are other midos to be used as well. And he says, these other midos, meaning not anivis, right? And so on and so forth. The hei mahagvures hatachtoines. These type of midos basically are harsh midos, but you have to use them in the right time. These are what's called mahagvures hatachtoines. These are strictness of the lower world. These are midos that a person might have to use in this lower world over here. Kashin Nevoyer, as we will explain. So even though, says the Talmud Nevoyer, the point he's trying to make, as he's starting to make, even though there are times that you have to depart from these eight midos, the times that you have to use other midos as well, like we said, Gaiva the Kedusha, maybe Azaz the Kedusha, the times you have to use other midos, you have to depart from these eight. But there are certain days, as we'll say, Shabbos and Yontif is going to point out, and certain periods when you're doing certain things, that you can never depart from the eight midos. There's never, sometimes there's a time you can never use any aspect of gaiva. You can never use any aspect of kas. You cannot deviate from these eight midos in particular times, as he mentions. Al yesh yomim yiduim. But there are specific days. He says, she'ein ha'gvurois poyalois. On those days, strict judgments, which means strict practices, are not going to work. Ve'ein b'neyodim tzrichin aleim. And man does not have a need to make use of them. Why? Lefi sheha keser shoylet bohem. Because these are zmanim that the midah of keser. Keser is the midah which is crown, which is keser, which is the highest midah. It is the highest midah, as it were, that we can use as an example, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The midah of keser is pure rachmim. There are certain days where only the midah of keser is actually functioning. When the midah of keser is functioning, then it's pure rachmim. These are days of Rachmim, and we want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to use Rachmim. if you want to benefit from the mid of Keser, you can't do actions which basically run against the theme of Midas HaKeser. So he points out again, there are certain days, Lefisha Keser Shoilut Behem, these are days where the Midah of Keser reigns, or there are Zmanim, there are times, Shakesem is Bakish. There are times that the Midah of Keser, you're looking for it, you want it, because you need Rachamim. The Midah of Keser brings Rachamim. So he points out, Oz. So in those particular days, he didn't yet say what those days are, but those particular days, when you need the Midah of Keser, which is Kulay Rachamim, then you have to be in a position to receive that midah. Then you have to use all the qualities that mentioned above, means all of the eight that I mentioned above. Omnom shar hamidos, however, all the other midos which are not part of the eight, like we said, other midos. Im hayos, even though it is true shehein tzorach avoyde bishato, even though the other midos also, there's manim, like we said, gaive the kedusha, az is the kedusha, and so on and so forth. But ein eis atol ishtamish ben. But now is not the time. There are certain periods, certain days, where only the eight midos should be used. Why? Because if no matter what you're going to use, mipnei she'or hakeser mevatlon. Because on these particular days, it is the light that comes down, the divine light that comes down, he says, is going to nullify any other practice. And it's and the kach hu leishtamish ba'oisen hamidos hakoshes, and a person should not exercise at these times any of the harsh midos. Which days are we talking about? Kegon Shabbos. Take the day of Shabbos, sho'olam besoid oinig. Shabbos, which is a zman of oinig. Shabbos is a zman which is a time of pleasure. It's a time to delight in Shabbos. The ain donin b'Shabbos. We know that there is no din on Shabbos. There's no bezin that convenes on Shabbos. There's no dinim on Shabbos. We say also, those who say kigavno, we say v'chol dinim misabrin minor, that on Shabbos all the dinim are removed. So there's no aspect of din. So oz yishtamish, he says, b'midas elu kulon. So on Shabbos one has to only use all of the eight midos that we mentioned above, which are soft midos, not midos of harshness. Kedei, because when you use on Shabbos the eight midos, right, the appropriate eight midos, he said, "Liftoyach hamakoyrois wel yoinim." Then you're opening up the heavenly sources of blessing. Shabbos is a zman that brings down brocha. Vayivarech Elokim es yom hashvi. Kadosh Baruch Hu bless Shabbos. Shabbos is a time of brocha. We want to be able to open up. We want to be able to open up the heavenly sources of brocha. You have to. It demands a certain behavior, and therefore, to be able to open up the makoyrois wel yoinim, to be able to open up the heavenly sources of blessing, it demands that a person actually practices these eight midos, anivis, no kas, and so on and so forth. Because, as he says, let's say a person in the davening has in mind all the best intentions in the world, right, regarding the best types of behavior. But when it comes down to doing it, he doesn't do it, then his tefillah doesn't mean much. As he points out, she'ilu yechavin bekavanosoi, if a person would have intent, he says, El oiras hakeser bitfiloisov. If a person during davening, right, he would have in mind regarding the lights of keser, which is all the inyonim, the hanhogis of rachmim that he should be doing. Vehu yifal, but lamaisa he is doing bepuloisa behepech. But when it comes down to practice, he behaves in the opposite direction. So he says, if he practices opposite to what should he be doing on Shabbos, hech yiftach mekoyr hakeser. How should he be able, he says, to open up the sources of keser, which is the sources of blessing, the sources of brocha? Radvorim kal v'chomer. As a matter of fact, he says, I'm going to make to you a kal v'chomer, he says. It's all the more so, as he says. For example, in Shemaim, as it were also, we know, in Shemaim, there is such a bechin of kas also. There's a bechin of kas, but it's called holy kas, because it's heavenly kas. There's heavenly kas, and there's all types of strict types of practices. But even Shomayim, when it comes Shabbos, cannot be involved with strict practices. Even though the strict practices in Shomayim are holy practices, the Tam Dvarim makes now Kal V'Chomer. If Shomayim, whose kas, as it were, is kas kodosh, but it cannot be done on Shabbos, so our kas could. There's no excuse for our kas. Our kas, which is human kas, which has no shayches, right? Cannot hold a candle to the kas in Shomayim. So if in Shemayim Shabbos is clearly free of any strict type of judgment, is free of any strict hanhoge, as he points out, he says, "Varedvarim kavachomer im hasfiros hol yoynes." If the upper channels, he says, "Magbirois hadinim hakdoshim v'kas hakodesh." If Shemayim were to institute strict practices on Shabbos, "Vayishra hakeser behem," then even Shemayim, the mid of Keser, which is the source of blessing, would not be able to prevail, because there's a contradiction between these midos. Kas, dinim, have no place on Shabbos. So imagine, if in Shemayim even it has no room, so imagine a human being, certainly not. So im ho'odom yagbir ha'kas chitzoni. So if a person basically comes, and he basically is involved with his external kas, he arouses his external kas. Afilu yilashem shemayim, he says, even if l'shem shemayim, kol shken shlo yishra hakeser ve'oyrei olov. Certainly, he will not have the divine, he says, blessings of keser upon him. Umagam, and especially shuhubol oyrei olam midas ol yoynes, and especially if the person, his practices, he says, are going to arouse. He's arousing those practices, sort of to be above, he says, these heavenly midos, the henoimrois, and the heavenly midos will criticize the practice of the human being on Shabbos. They'll say, "Kama azis ponem yeshboy." What kind of an azis? He says, "How much? What kind of an audacity does this person have?" Ein oir hakeser misgalabonu. Imagine the oir hakeser, the light of keser, which is the source of blessing, doesn't even shine upon us. Mipnei dineinu hakodesh v'hator. In other words, keser doesn't tolerate even holy strictness. So Shemayim says, if Keser doesn't tolerate on Shabbos even holy strictness, then who writes, and this person wants to legaloisoi, this person wants to reveal, he wants to reveal the sources of Keser, molikas, when he's filled with anger, upeulois, megunois, chitzonius, and all types of superficial actions, can't. Shabbos, there is no place, only with to comply with basically the eight midos that we had here in Perek Beis. Therefore, again, he concludes, "Lekach torech odom." Therefore, man has to make sure beyomim tovim an yontif, ube shabosois, ube yom kippurim. He says, "When it's in Shabbos and when it's an yontif." You have to realize, by the way, and he mentions how Shabbos is so anti anything of din. Shabbos is so anti any behavior, right? Any behavior that borders on strictness. Shabbos is the time of kulei chesed, kulei rachim. That should be the hanhoge. I just want to mention to you. You realize that all the Marishan who sinned, right? Who sinned? He was created on the sixth day. Lemaise, and Kosh Baruch Hu told him that he's going to eat. Right? He's going to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he's going to die. The fact is that the Marishan did not die. So why did he die? Why exactly didn't he die? So the Pirkei der Blezer says in Perek Yutes that Bo Yoyim HaShabbos, or the Marishan was saved because of Shabbos. Because why? He went right into Shabbos. He was born Friday, went right into Shabbos. And Shabbos came to intercede on behalf of other Marishan. Why? Why did Shabbos come to intercede? So the Pirkei der Blezer says in Perek Yutes, Bo Yom HaShabbos V'Nasa Sneger L'Odom Marishan. Shabbos came and became an advocate of other Marishan. Omer L'Ponov Reboinu Olamim. Look, these are the 6 days, the very first 6 days of creation. Shabbos is the very first seventh day in the world. So, 6 days of creation, no one was yet killed. No one was killed. How would it look, says Shabbos, that Adam Rishon is going to die, he says, on Shabbos? It comes that on my day? So on the first week of creation, the first 6 days didn't have to suffer the indignity of having someone die in their 6 days. I, Shabbos, have to look to see that someone's going to die in my day? So Shabbos came with a tiny, Shabbos came with a complaint. And he said, B'sheishes, imei ha'maisel in herig odom yoylom. By the way, not even people. Even animals. No one died yet. There was no such thing as dying in the first week. No one died. Ubiyat or maschil? And you're starting, the idea of death should start with me. Shabbos should be the first time that death should come down in the world. Zuhi kudushosoi. This is the kedush of Shabbos. Vizuhi berchosi. Shenema vayivorach elikim es yoyim ha'shvi v'akadishosoi. Ubeschus yoyim ha'shabbos. Because of the bracha that Shabbos has, Nitzel Odom Medina Shel Gehenem. So Odom Taki was saved. So comes a fascinating. So we see Taki with the essence of Shabbos. Shabbos does not want to tolerate. Doesn't want to tolerate any inyonim of din. So therefore he points out, let's continue now with this paragraph. So therefore he says, so again, on Yontif, he says, and Shabbosois, and Yom Kippurim, these are zmanim that we do not tolerate any behavior, any deviation from the midos, from the eight midos. What about during the year when it's not Shabbos and Yontif? Davening. B'shas, when a person is involved in tefillah, b'sho'os ha'tefillah, b'sho'os esek ha'toyreh. When a person davens, or when a person is oisik b'toyreh, these are zmanim that do not tolerate strictness. Tefillah is the zman of rachmim. Esek ha'toyreh is the zman of rachmim. She'einon sho'os ha'gvurois. These are not zmanim of gvura. These are not zmanim of din. One has to embrace behavior of rachmim. Ela sho'os, these are times, these are hours. Giloi Hirotzen Elyon. These are hours that are supposed to bring out the Rotzen Elyon. What was the Rotzen Elyon? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world? Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world to hate the Bria Yosef, because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mated to the Brias. This is the time during Tefillah, during Torah, Shabbos, Yontif. This is the time to bring out the Rotzen Elyon, to bring out Rachmim. And therefore, Lechoinen de Yosef, it's the time now where a person really should activate, he says, and direct his mind, the midos or elu kulam, all of the above midos, which all of the eight midos. The shar shoyes, but other hours, when he's not actually davening, he's not actually learning, sometimes there's a need to use other midos as well. So then you can use the other midos, if there's a real need. With shar shoyes, ishtamish b'midos hanishores, but lavadis Hashem, shtetzich, everything has to be for lavadis Hashem. But he can use other midos, besides these eight. Loi ha'meguna mehem. Not to use despicable midas. There's never an excuse to use despicable midas. In this typical way. I'm doing something despicable, but I mean l'shem shemaim. It doesn't go like that. Why are you doing such a dover mos? I mean l'shem shemaim. Why? Was that the nivel peh? Chmai l'shem shemaim. No excuse. No l'shem shemaim. No excuse. That's what he says. For l'avodis Hashem, there are other midas to be used. He said, but not despicable ones, he says. She'ein loy eis lishloy biyodom elon rosoy. Because those midas, he says, are only to man's disadvantage. V'oz kashish damish b'midas elu. And therefore, when man will use appropriately the midas that we're talking about, right, if man will use the midas that we're talking about, so then he says, yenochen betuach, that he can be sure, and he can be prepared, that what? Sheyiftach ha-mekoyrus yoyinim, he will open up the heavenly sources of bracha, will all be open to him. So, Amela, so just let me just mention to you that this, in fact, is what I tell you, the lotion of the Shlach Kodesh. We pointed out that even though we learned from the Talmud Devarim that we had many times, that one kas never has a room for anger, but one is allowed to give a face, an impression as if he's angry, if someone really had to make a message sometimes, and he, people like to think he's not serious, so you can show an angry face, but you shouldn't really get angry. The person should never lose control. The Shlach Kodesh says that even to show a face of anger has no room on Shabbos. The heter that we said bechitzoni is to show a face of anger, but you're not really angry when it's needed. Yes, that may be other times. The Shlach Kodesh Loshen, the Shlach Mesach the Shabbos says, Valkeim, Avera Kefulehi Mishim Mare Kas B'Shabbos, he says. When somebody even shows, he says, Kas on Shabbos, it's a double Avera. V'Kvarnosnu Simonim. There's a Simon, by the way. In Parshas Vayakel it says, Loisavaru Eish B'chol Moish V'Seichem B'yem HaShabbos, Eish HaMachloikis. Loisavaru Eish B'yem HaShabbos. So this again is with the Shlach Kodesh. So we see when Shabbos comes, it's a far cry. It's way far and not enough where merely a person refrains from doing malach on Shabbos. But the whole hanhoge, the whole behavior of a person, the whole midos of a person has to become transformed and elevated to a higher type of a behavior, to a higher type of a standard when it is the Shabbos, the G'day. That is the truth of Shabbos. And if we do that, we are zoichet to open up, he says, the mekoyres el yoinim, the heavenly sources of bracha.